Well, this morning, as we were saying, we were thinking about dealing with anxiety, and we saw that it's not a unique problem, that you or I are not the only ones who are suffering from it, and yet so often that's the way we think. We saw that often it's an isolating thing as we concentrate and we focus in on ourselves. We also saw that neither is it without hope for change, that God is at work in us. He has a long way to go, but he is at work, and there is change that he brings. And he also does bring the grace of the gospel into our situation. He brings forgiveness for where we go astray, and we will be celebrating that again in the Lord's Supper later on. It may be an ongoing issue for us, and for those of us who are warriors, it is an ongoing issue and an ongoing struggle, which is not solved in one Sunday, but it's not a despairing one, because the Spirit is at work, that Spirit that we remembered coming last week, as we remembered Pentecost. And we looked at Matthew chapter 6 and that famous passage where Jesus warns us not to worry. And we saw Jesus' diagnosis behind the situation. Not simply a statement, do not worry, but a diagnosis of our hearts that lie behind it. That we worship what is not God. So we look for joy and for satisfaction and for contentment in the wrong places that can never provide it. And so we end up worrying. And linked with that, we forget what God is like. We don't magnify him as we were just singing of. We focus instead on ourselves. And we need reminders, or as we saw this morning, reminders was too bland a word, wasn't it? We need to see the joys and delights of who God is as we rejoice in his character. Well, this evening we're going to spend our time looking at a very short psalm, which is all about getting our perspective straight. So we're going to meditate on that together, and there'll be an opportunity once I've finished speaking for us to spend another little while some music plays, just reflecting on what God has to say to us here and beginning to put our hearts right with him as we enjoy his goodness towards us. It's a helpful reorientation for us in the midst of anxiety, and it's a good way of avoiding it in the first place as we get our thinking straight. So we're looking at Psalm 131 this evening, which I forgot to put the page number up again. We're on page 625 if you're using a church Bible. It's short, it's sweet, it's to the point. Psalm 131, let's listen to God's word together. A song of ascents of David. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quietened myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Like I said, it's short, it's sweet, and it's straight to the point. Psalm 131 is one of the songs of ascents. We saw that in the title, the subscription that it's given, and it's mentioned there. And those songs of ascents run from Psalm 120 through to Psalm 134. And we're not quite sure, but they seem to have been put together for pilgrims who are heading towards Jerusalem, who are going up the hill to worship the Lord in his temple. And part of meeting with God is getting the right perspective on who we are and on who he is. So there's an intentionality about these psalms as they build through. You can go away later on and read through the whole list of the songs of ascents. There's an intentionality about these psalms that have been put together, a deliberateness as the pilgrim makes his or her way towards the temple. They're trying to help us to work towards what it means to meet with God and to see him correctly and to see ourselves correctly. And the fact that that's a deliberate process that is being gone through here helps us to see verse 1 correctly. Because it might sound initially like one of the great ironic statements of our time, doesn't it? My heart is not proud. I am so humble. There's a great line in the new Guardians of the Galaxies movie where Drax, who always speaks his mind, stands there at the back of this wonderful chariot sweeping across this new planet and says, I too am a man of great humility. And he doesn't see the irony in it at all. It sounds like a bit of a boast, doesn't it? My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. But not in this context. Not as we see the way in which these psalms are building up. It comes after reflection in the light of meeting with God. Actually, what we see here is an honesty that David displays. As David has recognized, he has stopped and he has thought, and he has seen who he is and where he stands in contrast to the greatness of God. Even David, the great king. As Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, put it, commenting on this psalm, he said this: "We do well to know our own size. We do well to know our own size." And it's ironic, isn't it, that one of the great problems with worry and anxiety is that at its root, it involves thinking or expecting too much of ourselves. Anxiety has at its heart the desire to control, the frustration that we cannot, and the accompanying belief that we should be able to. We worry because we want to make sure things are all okay. That's a desire for control. So the father who paces his living room all evening when his daughter has gone out for the first time, worrying about her with every step that he takes. He believes he should be able to keep her safe, doesn't he? That he should be there to protect her at each and every turn. That he is the one who should be able to ensure that everything is all right. And he can't. He can't be everywhere. He can't do everything. But he wants to. And he assumes that his role as father means that he should do so. He thinks he should be bigger than he is. And the result is worry. Because that, at least, he can do. But his view of himself is too big. He doesn't see his own size. David here in this first verse, David sees his limitations. He accepts his true size. So the second half of verse 1, great matters are beyond him. Some things are too wonderful for him. He is not God. He is not on the same level as the Lord that he addresses. Now, it's one of those blindingly obvious statements, isn't it? That you or I are not God, that God is superior and supreme to us. It's blindingly obvious, and yet so often we forget it in practicality, don't we? That we think we should be able to control things. How often we want to control everything that goes on. We want to be the one who ensures that everything is fine. And that comes from the good desire to do good for others. But it oversteps our boundaries. We want to be the one who sorts out the world. And we can't do it because we are not God. But you see, the thing is, it takes time and reflection amidst the busyness of life to see what is true, to recognize our own size. We have to stop and to think. Next time you found yourself feeling anxious about something, stop and ask yourself the question, what's the role I'm expecting of myself here? What's the role I'm expecting of myself here? Am I concerning myself with great matters, with things that are too wonderful for me? Do I feel like I should be able to solve all my friends' problems, guarantee my family's safety, or protect those I love, whatever may come? If I do think that, then is it just possible that I have forgotten my own size? See, David is content to be what he is. David is content to be what he is, the creature and not the creator. He does not know everything and he cannot control everything, even as the king who rules the land. Not because he is less than he should be and in some way inadequate, but because he is all that he should be. He is the creature and God is the creator. God is the ruler and not David, even David the king. Now verse 2 tells us that this has been a conscious effort and a decision on David's part. He has stopped and thought about it. It doesn't just come naturally. He has calmed and quietened himself. He has paused and he has taken stock. He has thought and he has considered what is true. And in that light, he has calmed and quieted himself. That's not an easy thing to do, but in the midst of the busyness of life, David has paused. Now that is no easy thing, but it is possible. It is possible to stop and to think. And it's necessary for us to pause and to stop and to think where our thinking starts to run away with ourselves. Because that's how it works, isn't it? Our brains get into a spin. And before you know it, we're far away down the track of us being in control. And we want to control everything. And we haven't paused to stop. Where we start to believe what is not true, that we should be able to control all things and make everything all right. That we should be able to control all around us. But again, as we were thinking about this morning, one of the dangers of anxiety and worry is that we make ourselves the very centre of the universe, the one about which everything else orbits. And as a result, everything else then orbits in as part of a vicious circle around us, which ends up crushing us. We don't stop to breathe and to see what is really true. That's what David has done here. And his illustration of a weaned child at the end of verse 2 with its mother is a wonderful one. Before a child is weaned, of course, what is mum? Mum is the source of milk, isn't she? The baby can smell it on her at all times and all places. I remember Lucy and Ian were around with us the other day, and Lucy was saying just the other day that Maisie was very often easier with other people around. When it was just her, when it was just Lucy, well, Lucy's the source of food, isn't it? And Maisie gets all excited about that all the time, and she just wants more. I remember times when our children were tiny babies, when they needed to be taken away from Steph, because mum meant milk. And that sent them off crying and demanding more milk, whether they needed it or not. They could smell it on her. And babies let you know when they want their milk. There is that particular baby cry, isn't it? Which pierces through everything else. And there's no arguing with them. I've tried it. But contrast the screaming baby smelling mum's milk with the weaned child which is content on her lap. Because now the child enjoys mum for who she is, not simply for what she provides. No longer is there that desperate screaming that comes from the little baby that's unable to express themselves except by hollering at top volume. Oh, of course, with a weaned child there are still screams. We all remember those. But it's not the same. It's not that desperation, that demand. But this picture of a weaned child is more than just an image of contentment, because it's contentment that is based on relationship. So the child sits contentedly on its mother's lap because she is mum. She is the source of peace and joy. Later, when they become toddlers, where do you go when you fall over and you graze your knee? You go to mum, don't you? The source of peace and joy. There's an intimacy in this picture which we should not miss. The child feels safe and secure in the context of this relationship. David doesn't use this image by accident, because it is God who provides that safety and that security that we long for. It is resting in him that offers us contentment and peace. We were thinking this morning, Jesus presented the Lord God as our heavenly Father, the one that we can trust. And we stopped and reflected then that not all of us have father figures we can look back on with great joy. That for some of us, that is a painful thought to think of Father. But each of us longs for the Father that the true Father that we wanted. The one who was the stable and secure person, the one that we were able to go to in all situations. We all long for that. And God is the Father that we each long for. And so in the same sense here, God is the mother that we have all longed for. The one whom, as a weaned child, we can sit in joy and contentment on her lap and enjoy the love that she has for us. The child enjoys the close presence of his mother. And we are able to enjoy resting in the relationship that we enjoy with God. But actually, there's more than we can stay still about this particular image. Because mum is still the source of food, isn't she? In most households, mum remains the source of food. She's the one who cooks. But no longer here is there the scream for breast milk, because that's all the child can do. Where the demand for food for a tiny baby is simply an automatic reaction to hunger. No, now the child sits content because he has learned that mum will provide. That there will be food on the table. That mum is trustworthy. That mum is dependable. See, the child knows what it is to be loved. The child knows the experience of what it is to be loved. And again, some of us have had that from our earliest days and we rejoice in it. Well, God loves us even more than our parents ever did. And for some of us, we have not experienced that. And God offers what we long for. The love of a kindly parent for whom we are everything. The child knows what it is to be loved. And as we think later on about what Jesus has done for it, there we see how much God loves us. As the Son hangs on the cross, as the Father gives up his Son for us, the clearest expression of his love for us. Do you see where the application here is for us in the midst of our anxiety? We are invited to be dependent on the one who provides. We're invited to enjoy his care for us. It's much the same here in Psalm 131 as we saw from Jesus this morning in Matthew chapter 6. A heavenly Father who cares for us. And here it's a mother image. But it's a conscious decision to make for us. It's a conscious decision to stop and first to see our own size. Not therefore to put ourselves down, but to see what we truly are. And then in the light of that, to see the care and concern of our loving God. Our need to be dependent on him and to trust him is not because we are inadequate. That's the way it's designed to be. We are supposed to enjoy the care and the love of the God who made us. Then we make the conscious decision to rest in him and to enjoy his love for us. And David concludes this psalm by inviting others to enjoy this same experience. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Remember, this song is one of the songs of ascent, which is quite possibly chanted or sung by a group of pilgrims on their way up towards the temple. So this psalm finishes with a note of mutual encouragement. As brothers and sisters tell each other what God is like and how important it is to rest in him and to enjoy him. Friends and neighbours, brothers and sisters might together put their hope in the Lord and enjoy him forever. Yes, we've seen David make that conscious decision to calm his own mind, to see him where he himself stands, and to decide to trust the Lord and his goodness. But let's not miss the significance of the encouragement and the help of God's people to do just this. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Again, we thought briefly this morning about the danger of being isolated in our anxiety, that we need the encouragement of others, that we do not automatically remember our own size, do we? We do not easily calm ourselves to see what is true. We're frequently too jumpy to enjoy the goodness of God and our dependence on him. And we need to be reminded and encouraged about where to put our hope. Israel, brothers and sisters, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this beautiful picture of a weaned child with its mother, and the offer of contentment and satisfaction and joy and relationship that presents for us. Thank you that you choose to give us an image like this that explains what it means to enjoy you. Father, thank you that we can come to you as our Father, the one who loves us. You are like a mother to us, the one who provides for us day by day. That you offer us contentment and security. Father, we confess that often we do concern ourselves with great matters and things that are too wonderful for us. We do not see our own size. And equally, we don't see your size either. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us in the midst of difficult times and in the midst of good times to be those who stop and reflect and see what is true, that we see our own size and we enjoy the care and concern of the God who loves us enough to give his Son in our place. Father, please help us as we seek to do this. Help us to delight in resting in you and the contentment that you offer. Help us to put aside our striving for acceptance and to enjoy the love that you lavish upon us. Help us, please, to be those who put our hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. David makes the time and space here to question himself and to consciously rest in his dependence on God. It's not always easy to carve out the time to do that, is it? In the busyness of life as it sweeps along. So we're going to make use of some of the space that we have this evening to do that. We're going to play some music in the background. But you've got the next 5 or 10 minutes to stop and to quieten your heart. Can I suggest you use that time to meditate maybe on Psalm 131. Maybe you just want to read it through a number of times and to allow the poetry and the imagery there to permeate through your heart as you seek to be like a weaned child who is content with its mother. David begins by getting his size right. Perhaps you need to reflect on where your worries are built on an expectation of yourself and your ability to control life, which just aren't right. Maybe in light of what we were thinking about this morning, there needs to be some repentance for seeking to control things that are too wonderful for you. And then David continues by consciously calming his mind, by taking on that role of the weaned child who enjoys their relationship with a loving mother and settles themselves in dependence, which is right and proper. Well, this is the opportunity for us to stop and to reflect on God's care and his concern for us, which is sown supremely in this meal that we will celebrate later on. So take the opportunity now to pause and to see the kindness of God and to enjoy his care for you and to entrust yourself to him in full dependence. There'll be some music playing to provide some background. If you want to wander around while you reflect, you can do that. Let's spend some time meditating on God's word together and seeing where we stand with him. Father, we thank you for the gift of time and space to stop, to calm and to quieten ourselves, to see what is really true, to see our own size and to be content with who we are because of your love and care for us. Thank you for the beautiful picture of being like a weaned child with a mother. We ask that you'd help us to find contentment in that place where it is truly found, in the love and care that you have shown us. Help us too, Lord, at other points during this coming week, when our worries begin to get away from us, where our thinking charges on ahead, where we forget what is true. Help us at those times to be able to take a breath, to calm and to quieten ourselves, to find our rest in you. Lord, we recognise that often in those times it is not easy to do so. And it's not easy to trust you amidst the turmoils of life and everything that goes on. But help us to be like children at that time, knowing that you are our loving Heavenly Father, that you know what is going on, that you have our lives in your hands. And so help us to trust, even through the difficult times, as well as through the joys, that we might find our contentment, our satisfaction, our joy in the love that you have for us and the future that you hold out for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.